Welcome to White Shores, the podcast for spiritual beings having a human experience. Let me invite you to walk once more beside me on White Shores to talk about the real meaning of life and the true power of what is unseen. Let's discuss dreams, intuition, manifesting, as above, so below, angels, afterlife, the science of consciousness, and other infinite possibilities within and all around you. I hope every episode informs, inspires, and illuminates. So, now the scene is set. Allow the grey rain curtain of this world to roll back and all to turn to silver glass. Let's walk barefoot together on the gentle, glistening sands of White Shores to see what mystery lies beyond the material. Thank you for arriving safely on White Shores, a far green country under a swift sunrise. I have two. You know, I often use the word remarkable in this podcast, but these two gentlemen are truly remarkable, both of them in their own right and together as a team. And I'm absolutely over the moon that they're both here today. They're extremely busy. It was actually very hard to get this interview pinned down, but I'm so thrilled they're here today. And they've both got the same name, beautiful synchronicity. Let's start with Jeffrey Olson. He's a number one international best-selling author who inspires audiences globally with his intriguing story of perseverance and inner strength. He's joined by Dr. Jeffrey O'Driscoll, who for 25 years has practiced emergency medicine in the ER and seen things which science simply cannot explain. Now, I'm going to hand over this podcast to the both of them because they have a remarkable story to share together, but also separately. So, Jeff Olson, would you begin and then bring in the other Jeff and explain why you're here on White Shores today? I must, first of all, thank Elizabeth Wasson from Helping Parents Heal for connecting us. I'm deeply grateful for that connection. So, Elizabeth, I know you're listening. So, hello.
Teresa. Thank you. And yes, we love Elizabeth, and the work she does in this world is profound. And gosh, Dr. Jeff and I mean, since we're both named Jeff, you can call me Jeff, you can call him Dr. Jeff, because he is, you know, an emergency room physician and has 25 years experience there. Our relationship started as a result of a horrific automobile accident that I was in. Which crushed both my legs. My left leg was amputated above the knee. My back was broken. My rib cage was damaged. My lungs were collapsing. My right arm was almost torn off. The seatbelt cut through me and ruptured all my insides. I was life flighted or airlifted to his level one trauma center. But the most devastating thing about that experience is half the family was killed instantly in the auto accident. My wife and my youngest son were killed instantly. Me and my oldest son survived. And that's how Jeff and I became friends. Now, at that time, and we can get into this, I had a profound near-death experience and was sent back, if you will. I left my body and was sent back actually to raise my oldest son, who also survived the accident. But Dr. Jeff also had a profound experience where he experienced the spirit, the soul of my wife, who was killed at the scene, but she appeared in the operating room as his team was diligently working to, you know, repair my injuries and save my life. And that's the background. And Doctor, I don't know if you've got more to add to that.
Well, you tell it so beautifully. I could just sit here and listen. Jeff and I just spoke together at a Helping Parents Heal conference in Phoenix, and I just love to be together with him to share. My brother, older brother, was killed in a farm accident just a month before my 12th birthday, and I didn't think it really impacted me, but in the few years following his accident, I started to get messages. I'd hear voices speaking to me, and sometimes they gave me profound and potentially life-threatening or life-saving messages. And as time went on, sometimes I would start to see the messenger that was delivering the message. So by the time I got to the emergency department, I was having these kind of experiences often enough that they were beautiful and glorious, but they weren't surprising to me, and they weren't life-changing. They just felt natural and normal. So when I walked into the trauma room where Jeff Olson was unconscious on the gurney and the medical team was taking care of him, standing above the gurney was his newly deceased wife, Tamara, and she communicated her profound gratitude for the care that he was receiving. Jeff and I wouldn't speak for another month because he had too many surgeries. He had his leg amputated and a lot of healing to do. But about a month later in his hospital room, we spoke for the first time, and I shared my experience with his wife. He shared the experience he had at the scene of the accident, and we've since agreed that while he was experiencing a profound goodbye from his wife, I was experiencing this profound spiritual hello from her. And we've been friends now for 25 years since.
Yeah, it's been an interesting friendship because I didn't know the doctor and he didn't know me. And I think one of the miracles is that he and I know he was encouraged by one of the nurses who also experienced Tamara in the operating room to come and tell me what had happened. And gosh, you know, I had been in ICU. I mean, I was in the hospital for almost 5 months and had 18 surgeries in all, putting me back together. And for that first month, a lot of it, I was unconscious and quite out of it in the ICU unit. But when the doctor and the nurse came in and shared their experience, I suddenly found there was a safe place for me to talk about what had happened to me. You know, the first comforting thing is, wow, he's a doctor. I mean, if I'm crazy, you know, he can send me to the psychiatric ward and get me the assistance I deserve. But it, you know, it went from that to this friendship where we could talk about the spiritual things that happen in our lives. And the near-death experience opened me up in such a way that I would never be the same. I mean, I was a red-driven personality. I worked in marketing. I was running an ad agency. And the near-death experience changed me because I had a new profound introduction, if you will, to love and connection. And not the, you know, not a romantic love, but God's love. I mean, a profound new way of seeing not only others, but myself and the way we all fit in the world. And interesting enough, Dr. Jeff, with his experiences, was wide open to that. And it was a safe place to talk about that. And that's how we became friends.
And it is incredible that your safe place was a doctor, yeah. a medical doctor, where, you know, you wouldn't expect that. And I actually feel quite emotional listening to you both because White Shores launched with Eben Alexander. We've had Penny Sartori on, David Ditchfield, interviewed Anita Morjani. And it's these episodes just actually define this podcast. And I feel so blessed to speak to you both and so grateful for this because I know this is what my listeners want to hear. Now, over here in the UK, we're not as open to it, I think, this kind of conversation. The afterlife or the idea of consciousness surviving bodily death is something that I have learnt over the years, because I've been a writer many years, to tread very carefully with. But these stories and your stories are so powerful. I can't understand, because I have been gathering near-death experience stories for decades, writing book after book about all this, that I haven't come across you first before. Why is that? Has your story not gone over to the UK or to Europe or whatever? I just would like to know what your story is incredible.
Right. Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting. And I think we should point out it's been 25 years since the accident. Yeah. And although the doctor was willing to listen, I didn't talk about my near-death experience except with close family members, immediate family members and the doc. I mean, I didn't want people to think I was crazy. And besides, it was so emotional. I mean, I, you know, half the family had been killed, and I was driving the car. I mean, the guilt, the regret, the remorse, and yet attempting to make sense of what I had experienced in a spiritual realm, in a religious realm, in a worldly realm, when it was so unworldly, it took me years. I didn't even go public with what had happened with me till 10 years after the accident. And, you know, we can speak about it now quite candidly and quite composed, where if I mentioned their names in the first year or so, I would just cry. There was still pain and grief, and the depth of what had happened was a very heavy thing to carry. And also, it took me years to process. You know, it's like, wow, what happened? Not only the physical injuries, but the emotional shattering of a family, and then making sense of this near-death experience and being able to speak openly about it. And the doc didn't come out with his experiences until after I had already started. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I know that it has been in the UK. I mean, I spoke in London at one time. Dr. Jeff and I were with Alternatives there at St. James Church.
Yeah.
And Findhorn Scotland had me come a few times, you know, and speak and do workshops. But those are little pockets of a very big, heavy populated country there and countries in the UK, which, you know, I mean, Eben and Anita and all those folks are friends of ours. We speak with them and rub shoulders with them here. But as far as international reach, you know, it's...
Have you written a book together? Have you... I'm not aware of that. Sorry, I am fairly new to you both.
Well, no, the doc has written a book titled Not Yet. My memoir of the NDE, that's his experiences in the ER, which includes his experience with Tamara and me. My personal memoir is Knowing, which it is a very personal memoir of the NDE and the aftermath and all that took place, including, you know, raising my son who survived and falling in love again and rebuilding a family. So it's beyond just the NDE. It's a personal memoir. And then my oldest son, Spencer, who survived the accident with me, we have just released a what we thought was a children's book called Where Are You? But it's written from his perspective when he was only 7 and he didn't have a near-death experience or a profound spiritual experience. He was a little boy. And half the family was gone, and his father was never going to be the same. But he wrote that for what we thought was little people, you know, young people, as a children's book. But it has been embraced by all ages and anyone who misses someone. And the day we released it, it did hit number one in the category in the UK and Canada and the USA, and actually hit bestseller status in 6 countries. So what we thought was a children's book has been embraced by all people who are experiencing loss and grief. And that's been a really cool thing to do with my son, who is now a grown man, but he's reaching into the recesses of that innocence of a 7-year-old in the book.
In your son, I'm interested now, does he still regard death as something that isn't real, that our consciousness carries on? Does he still feel like that? Does he have that connection with the other side?
He does, but it took a while. I mean, here I had had all these profound experiences, near death, out of body experiences, which you can read about in Knowing, but he didn't have any of that. And so he was quite skeptical. I mean, he would say to me, I mean, either you're making it up, or you're deceived in some crazy way, or if there's a greater power and a life after, it doesn't care about me. I was a little boy and I prayed and begged God. I just wanted to see my mom. I just wanted to experience some relief, the grief and the loss, and he didn't. And so there's a few chapters in Knowing about that and his path, and yet he's become a very deep, compassionate man on a completely different journey, because he was stuck to his own wherewithal to deal with that, not only as a child, but into adolescence. And he probably grieved more in his late 20s than he did as a little boy, because he fell in love and got married and began to realize the loss at a different level.
Yeah. Oh, well, you are so eloquent. I can tell that you're a beautiful author. Thank you. Dr. Jisco, your book, Not Yet, I love that title. Am I right in assuming that is a collection of parting visions, near-death experience stories, or your experience in ER, obviously? I'm just trying to get a sense of what that book is. Is it a collection of stories, or are you presenting the science or the anecdotal evidence, witness statements, your perspective in that book?
No, I don't make any attempt at all to explain the science. And I acknowledge some of the scientific theories, which are yet unproven, but I didn't want it to be a scientific book. I wanted it to be an approachable book that anybody could pick up off the shelf and read. And for that reason, I made it short and very readable and accessible to the lay public. Having studied near-death experiences for some years, you'll appreciate the first time I ever spoke with Raymond Moody, he called me on the phone after reading my book, and he told me he'd been a skeptical, objective researcher for 40 years, and after he heard Jeff Olson and I's story, the experiences we shared together, and read my book, he called me up and said, "I finally relinquished my doubts. I now truly believe that there is life after death." So I thought that was a pretty good endorsement from, of all people, Raymond Moody.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're probably never going to get conclusive proof that there is life after death. But I think near-death experiences and stories like yours come as close as possible that we're going to probably get to prove, because I mean, in a court of law, it's like a witness statement, isn't it? It's mm-hmm. So very, very powerful. But of course, White Shores, my season one, I spoke to some of the leading scientists in the world researching consciousness, the possibility of life after death, because I just wanted to put that out there. I'm kind of championing the science now, because I'm seeing that it is moving closer and closer in the direction of suggesting that our consciousness can exist outside our body and our brain. You know, it can exist independently of our body and brain, transcendently. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, that's a challenging proposition, and there's so much inertia in the scientific field to overcome. But what we have to get to the point is to realize and acknowledge, in fact, while everybody's demanding that there's proof of conscious existence after physical death, the fact of the matter is there's no proof that consciousness does not exist and continue on after death. And the problem we're facing is that we're working from a model that is misleading. If we were looking at any other topic or issue, and we had as many eyewitnesses standing up and testifying to the fact, we'd accept it as fact. I recognize the limitations of science. I was trained in traditional Western medicine. I am absolutely committed to evidence-based medicine and scientific inquiry, but I would like to see us adapt a new model that actually addresses the data, and the data is overwhelming by eyewitness accounts that, in fact, there is conscious life after physical death.
Both of you, would you mind sharing your background? Were you spiritual? Were you religious? What were your upbringing before this life changing event? What was your background?
The doctor and I, we grew up in neighboring counties. I mean, we had never met each other before the accident and that profound, you know, emergency room introduction, but. I grew up in a very small farming community, very conservative Christian, in this part of the country, Mormon, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the official name. And, my dad was a cowboy and a soldier, and I had a pretty well-rounded background because my mother and father divorced when I was young. And we would spend, you know, time with my mother, who was a very devout conservative Christian, and time with my father, who was he was based in integrity and honesty and hard work, and was not necessarily religious. But the near-death experience kind of turned that inside out and upside down for me. Suddenly, my beliefs or my faith, if you will, was expanded into absolute trust. I mean, and when you read the near-death experience, I was held by God. I was held in the arms of the divine creator as I held my own little boy who had passed away in the accident. And I was shown in a profound way that the love I had for that child who was perfect and divine and beloved to me was the same love that God had not only for me, but for all of us. I mean, it was magnified and multiplied as I held my child and gave him back to God. And I experienced unconditional love, no judgment, unconditional love. And so suddenly my beliefs were just expanded into absolute trust and a knowing that God is love and that all people, all religions, all races, all colors, all genders, doesn't matter, that we are manifestations of the divine and have far more in common as God's children than we'll ever have separate based on our religious practices or our cultures or our beliefs.
Thank you. That's so beautiful. Dr. Jeff?
Well, Jeff Olson and I grew up, as he said, with very similar backgrounds. We grew up on farms and neighboring communities, and we grew up with a similar religious background. But I'd been through a cauldron of spiritual transformation before we met. And shortly after Jeff got out of the hospital, when he was finally well enough to get together and visit, we'd have long conversations. And I realized that I had the answers to many of his questions, and some of the perceived contradictions that he described were more perceived because we used a different vocabulary than some of our new friends were using. Some of the people in the near-death world use a different vocabulary, but we have very similar belief systems. And so we helped one another learn and grow over the years, and we still get together frequently for lunch and long conversations, and we teach each other what we've learned recently and grow from our friendship.
Well, you're clearly brothers in spirit. I mean, even the name, it just get. I mean, I'm looking at your names here up on the screen with Jeff, and it begins with an O. It's just almost like this is just, oh my goodness, it's just... It's so expansive and interconnected and wonderful. I'm hearing your story, but what it, for people listening, often when you get near-death experience accounts, which are so compelling as yours, of course, it's unfortunate that there's this massive trauma and grief and pain, and my heart goes out to you, Jeff. What you went through is unspeakably painful. And your inner strength to get through it. My concern is with these stories is that people think that you have to go through almost the point of death to experience this. What do you say to people listening, you know, whose lives have been less extreme?
Right. No, I think my son Spencer is a perfect example of that. He didn't have the profound near-death experience, and yet we've come to the same conclusion that we're all connected and that no one's ever lost. They live on through us, and they guide us. I mean, they transition. They graduate from this realm and become our guardian angels. But no, you do not have to have a near-death experience. I mean, heaven forbid you go through what I did to learn these things. I mean... Dr. Jeff didn't almost die. He didn't have the injuries I had. He had experienced grief and loss, but he came to the same conclusion through simple being. You know, I mean, you don't have to have a near-death experience to connect in a divine way and realize the oneness that we are.
No, absolutely. I mean, but some of the things like bereavement and stuff, they are kind of like a spiritual awakening because you are on your knees, aren't you?
Yeah.
You are that. It's like you're kind of like forced to spiritually evolve because of the you're at the depths. Sometimes it takes that, sadly, doesn't it?
It can. It can. For me, I must be a slow. I'm probably a slow learner, Teresa. I probably, you know, the universe just knew, hey, this guy's not going to get it unless he really gets it. And yet I, in the near-death experience, I also learned that I created my experience. God didn't impose that on me, and it wasn't an assignment from the divine. It was my experience that I created and my soul longed for, and all the players, even my wife and youngest son who passed away, they were there to assist me and support my experience and the expansion of my soul, which once again was, wow, that's unconditional love in a very profound way.
So are you both saying, correct me if I'm wrong, that we are here to express and experience this unconditional love, but also to learn and evolve?
Well, I think we naturally learn and evolve as a consequence of our being here. But I agree with the first part of your statement wholeheartedly. Religion wants to make it so complicated and complex, but it all boils down to one word, one terribly inadequate word in the English language, which is love. When we fully understand that, then we get it. When we see ourselves, and I didn't just have this one experience with Jeff's wife in the ER. I had a lot of experiences where I saw souls leave their bodies when they died, and they communicated with me before they left. And I had equally profound experiences with souls arriving at birth, when they pass through the veil, whether they're coming or going. Sometimes that veil gets held back, and you get to experience some of that light and glory on the other side, and it splashes onto you if you're in proximity spiritually. So people want to make it so complex, but it all boils down to love. And we're here to learn to have empathy, because when we have empathy for another person, all judgment stops and there's only love.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Thank you for that. And what you're saying about the transformative impact as well of these experiences, for me, I mean, that's kind of the most powerful argument for their authenticity, because if it was all hallucination, that tends to drain people, doesn't it? I've known people who suffered, sadly, from hallucinations, and it often triggers depression and confusion. Whereas people who've had these transformative experiences, they come back with a lightness and a joy and a purpose. And if that's not heaven sent, I don't know what is, you know? It's not a draining experience, that's what I'm trying to say. And I think Dr. Sartori, she wrote a book, The Transformative Power of Near-Death Experiences. That was her big argument as well for it, that people who have these experiences, they come back with a light in their eyes and a purpose.
Well, Bruce Grayson talks about that as well. You know, Bruce is a psychiatrist, now an emeritus professor at University of Virginia. He's been studying near-death experiences for decades. In fact, he was an attending psychiatrist when Raymond Moody was a medical student at University of Virginia. And he talks about that in his book that just came out about a year ago. His book's titled After. And it's a great read, and it's written for the lay reader. And he talks about the qualitative difference between hallucinations and other experiences compared to near-death experiences. And one of the distinctively different things about near-death experiences is they have a transformative effect on people. So I agree with you entirely. The outcome, the consequence of a near-death experience gives validity to the fact that it actually happened.
Wow. What advice would you have for people who are very fear death, who are, you know, what would you be able to say? Because many of us do have this fear.
You know, I can speak to that a little bit, because I went through the processes of grief. Mm-hmm. I was angry. I mean, in the hospital, and it's probably worth pointing out to Dr. Jeff's point, my near-death experience happened at the scene of the accident, before any narcotics were administered. And I did seem to be in and out of the body while in the hospital, but the two profound experiences were at the scene before any narcotics were offered, and actually at the end of my hospital stay, when I was off of all heavy narcotics and was in the rehabilitation wing. So, and it did change me. And had I not had the experience, I may have been that guy strung out on the corner wondering what happened, but it, you know, I drew from that. I drew from those experiences in a way. And those that are bitter, those that are angry, I mean, when I was asking all the why questions, why me, why this, why both of them, why the leg, you know, why, it wasn't until I shifted to the what question. What am I learning and what can I do with this for my family, for my community, for humanity, that things became lighter. And I learned very early on while still in the hospital, when I reached out to do something for somebody else, suddenly my pain was not such a burden to carry. And that relieved that bitterness and that wondering to a purpose, to a light. I mean, there's that biblical verse, you know, cast your burdens on the Lord and I will make them light. And I used to think that meant easier to carry, you know, less in weight, less heavy. And yet I've learned in a profound way that no, I will transform them to light, to wisdom, to knowledge, to something far different. And being held by God and realizing there is no judgment. We're simply here to learn. And we're simply here for the expansion of our souls. Suddenly there wasn't so much to be bitter about. Now, like I say, I had the experience. I said goodbye to my wife on the other side. I held my child and literally handed him over to God. I made a choice. And this was interesting too, because of my upbringing. There I am in the arms of the divine, and I'm told, we want you to exercise your will. And I'm like, my will? I thought it was your will be done. And the beautiful being that held me, who I call God, said, my will is your will. That's how much we love you. My will has always been that you have free will and you have a choice in this matter. And that's when I was invited that I could exercise my will and hand my son over. And therefore, he wasn't ripped away or taken. I was taking part in this transformative experience that would change my heart forever.
Wow. Listening to you both, I mean, you're both very different voices, but both so eloquent. Why on earth isn't this in a book? Because I'm a, why on earth is there not a book with the Jeff and Jeff on the cover? This, because books are such a way to reach people that wouldn't normally otherwise, you know, something the title like The Next Great Adventure. I don't know. That's the famous quote, isn't it? At the end of Harry Potter, I think. I don't know. But I just feel that what you have to say is so powerful and you're so compelling. Anyway, I'll leave that thought with you both.
Maybe that's an assignment. Yeah, maybe that's an assignment, Doc. Maybe we better start putting
it. You have got to. There would be no problem getting a publisher with a story like that, you know, and with your credentials and background, and I'm sure following. I just feel it's probably time, because you're both actually doing the right thing and prioritizing your loved ones and your work and your passion. But I do hope, that's just my hope, because I know that there would be a very eager audience for a book like that, really, that, you know, it's so unusual, but so reassuring and so positive. And, you know, finding joy and meaning through this loss. And you're not pushing it down people's throats when you speak, saying, oh, that I know this is what it is. You're saying, this is my experience. Make of it what you will. And I love that humble approach. It's beautiful. For people who want to find out more about you both, can you tell me the best way to do that? Where to order your books? And are you doing any talks or workshops? You mentioned you were in Phoenix recently. Is that where you're both based?
No. We traveled to Phoenix. I live in Utah. I live in the Rocky Mountains, just moments away from Sundance. If you've heard about the Sundance Film Festival, but this is where I grew up. I mean, this is home. This is home for me. So I'm a mountain man in the Rocky Mountains of Utah.
All right. Okay. But do you do lots of talks together? I mean, you said you came to, when did you come to the UK to Alternatives in Piccadilly?
Gosh, it was actually, we were scheduled to fly out on the 2 days before the pandemic hit and shut everything down in 2020. So we actually had to do it over Zoom because everything, all borders were shut down. And so I have not been in the UK since 2019. In Findhorn, and yet I lived over there for 2 years as a young man. I lived near Edinburgh and Glasgow, Scotland.
Scotland. Wow. The green and pleasant land. Oh, wonderful. This is fantastic. And Jeff, your experience of the UK?
Yes, I actually lived in the UK for a couple of years as well. I lived in England in Norfolk and Sussex and Essex and Kent, and I loved it and I miss it, and I haven't been there for a few years either. We were very disappointed. We kind of felt Spirit nudging us, and we chose not to get on the plane, and the very next day they shut down international travel, so it turned out to be a good thing, although we really lamented not being able to be there.
Yeah, we laughed and thought that it wouldn't be a bad place to be stuck, you know, in the UK. It'd be a nice place.
Seeing as this is called White Shores, so you can you just give details about your website?
Where sure.
To books, when sure. You do your talk.
The easiest place to find me is Envoy Publishing. ENVOY publishing.com. Envoy is French for messenger, obviously, but the books are there. You can also find them on Amazon. And Teresa, I've sent you links. I just emailed you some links to get to the website to find the books. And I'm on social media as well. You can look me up at Jeffrey, Jeffrey C. Olsen, Olsen. And I'm on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all the.
Are you on TikTok? I mean, that's where it all is.
It's all on TikTok, and I'm not. I don't dance or do silly things like that. But I'm going to start. You know.
How about you, Dr. Jeff? How can people find out about you?
People can easily find me on Facebook and Instagram. They can also find me on my website, jeffodriscoll.com, or if they don't want to learn how to spell O'Driscoll, HelpingSoulsHeal.com goes to my website as well. And you can get my books domestically on my website, but if you're international, just get them on Amazon. Not yet.
Not yet. Fantastic title. Absolutely love it. And I'm just going to close this amazing episode that I'm so proud and happy to release of White Shores with my usual, because White Shores is named out of my love for Tolkien and Lord of the Rings, etc. Finding a quote for you both. Here we go. And I'd like you both to end this episode with a quote. It can be from your books or anything that you'd like to say for listeners of White Shores to reflect and meditate on as the episode's closed. But here's my Tolkien one. Actually, it was really difficult. I wanted to do the White Shores one, the really famous one. But, you know, I've done that quite a lot. So, here at last, dear friends, on the shores of the sea, comes the end of our fellowship in Middle Earth. Go in peace. And then another one, faithless is he that says farewell when the road darkens. Some Tolkien wisdom there for listeners of White Shores to ponder whether they like it or not. Every week they get treated to my obsession with Lord of the Rings. But have you got something that you could both individually say to close this episode for people to reflect on?
Yes, I'll go first and let Jeff Olsen have the last word.
Thank you.
Our origin is divine. Our destiny is divine. Mortality is on the path of our divinity. And being mortal does not make you less divine.
I love that, Doc. And I'll just share briefly. I mean, there's a line in my book, Knowing, that kind of wraps it up. It says, to trust is peace, to love is perfect, and to know is divine. And from the new children's book, let me just read a little bit in that too, but this is kind of a wrap-up line there for those who have experienced loss and are grieving. And it says, we only grieve because we love. Realizing grief is love will make sad tears less bitter. No one is ever truly gone. They live on through us and forever guide us. And from my perspective, grief is the most pure form of love. That's what I can say now, 20 years on the other side of it. And choose joy. It is a choice. The only cosmic rule to me is free will and choice. And if we can choose to be joyful, choose to be more kind, choose to be more loving, we can change the world by changing ourselves and those around us.
Gosh, that's just so perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you from my heart and soul for that. And for the listeners of White Shores, I know will be feeling comforted and inspired. I'm just going to mention quickly, because you mentioned your children's book as well. Were you both entranced as I was by the Disney movie Soul, all about a near-death experience?
I loved Soul. I thought, oh, they get it. They get it. They got it. I was very impressed and loved the storyline. And, you know, so often in today's world, we've lost the gift of storytelling in film. And that one did it very, very well. So I loved it. Yes.
You know, on White Shores, the scientists, Dr. Lauren Carpenter, Dr. Dean Radin, who were called by Disney to help craft those afterlife scenes and the near death, they've been on White Shores and talked about how Disney worked with them to create an, because it's quite a challenge, isn't it, to depict the afterlife near death experiences for children in a mainstream way in family audiences. And I thought they did it absolutely beautifully.
Yeah. It was beautifully done. Beautifully done.
Rightly deserved an Oscar, didn't it, for best animation, I think. And isn't that amazing step forward, actually, how we are beginning to have these dialogues that Disney is doing it. You know, what you guys are talking about. So,
yep.
Again, thank you.
It's evident in music, in film. It's evident for anyone who's listening. You know, I mean, I might have a song on the radio and it's like, wow, there's my message. There's my message from the divine today.
On
a classic rock station, right?
You are everywhere. And oh, thank you so much. I'm just so delighted that you just had some time to spare for me, because time is a gift you cannot get a refund on. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Such an honor to be with you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you from my heart and soul for being here and walking beside me in spirit on White Shores. Sensitive, kind, compassionate souls like you who see beyond the material are needed more than ever today to help this earth heal and evolve. If you have any questions, stories, or insights to share, I absolutely love hearing from you and aim to reply to everyone in due course. My website is www.teresachung.com. My contact email is angeltalk710@aol.com. And you can message me via my Instagram handle, TheTeresaChung, as well as my Facebook and Twitter author pages. Until we meet again on these white shores, keep being amazing spiritual you, sending my eternal love and gratitude.